Pastor Goodwin, our camp director, for the honor and the privilege to be able to preach these two morning sessions. And I can tell you, God is doing great things in this camp, touching hearts and lives, saving, baptizing in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And last night, I just knew we was going to get raptured out of here. Come on. Huh? Matter of fact, I already had my wings. I was ready to capture the rapture wind. Amen. Where's Brother Jacob? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You know, what you feel in the Holy Ghost when he moves on you in a mighty way, just multiply that by a billion times. And that's what we're going to feel when the rapture takes place. Amen. And we're out of here. Would you shout hallelujah? Come, all y'all still asleep? I said we're out of here. Shout glory to God in the presence of Jesus to live and die forevermore. But I can tell you, what a great camp. What a great camp. You keep pressing in. Keep getting in. We got this day and tonight. And so you just press in with everything you got. And let the Lord do a great thing. Let him do a mighty thing. Let him do a finishing work, at least in this camp. Let him do a finishing work before you go home tomorrow. And then take home what you've got here in word and in experience and encounter with the mighty God of glory. And let that, what you have received, let it flow forth from you in your schools, in your community, shout amen, somebody, in your church, hallelujah, woo. And I know we're going to continue to hear good reports of what God's doing through Truth Campers. And, you know, I just appreciate Pastor and Sister Goodwin and their hard work, don't you? I see them just busy, and serving the heart of a servant, the heart of a servant. I'm around Pastor Goodwin. I'm convicted, and renew my servant's call. Amen. I'm a servant, first and foremost, and thank God for it. It is good to have my daughter with me this week at Truth Camp, and my two grandsons. How many of y'all seen my two grandsons? Few of you. Well, I'll be riding around with them on the cart, and. Are holding them, and just look at them, and look at me, and you tell me they look just like the grandpa. Come on now. And then I tell folks they just need a little bit more sun. But oh, I'm proud to have them. My daughter is a truth camper, and I guess you could say it like that, a graduate of Truth Camp. Amen. And God has done great things in her life and her family. She's a worship pastor in Greenwood, Arkansas, at Howard Hill Assembly of God there with her husband and her two boys, Judah and Jonathan. And she's going to come minister in song. You worship the Lord as my daughter Kayla comes to sing.
I want you guys to stand with me today because we're going to worship Jesus. How many knows that when you serve him, and when he's your everything, that he's going to make everything all right? We're in a day and a time where it seems like our whole world is falling apart, but we have a hope, and we have Jesus. We have the hope of heaven. We don't have to be afraid because we can say that in Jesus, I know everything's going to be all right. No matter where you're at today, no matter what you're going through, you can say, I know everything's going to be all right because I've got Jesus. And in him, there's always victory because he's never failed. Come on, get with me. Well, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be all right. Hey, I've got a feeling that everything's gonna be all right. Yeah, I've got a feeling. Come on. Everything's gonna be all right. Love, be all right. Be all right. Gonna be all right. Listen, well, God told Moses to leave all
see Moses now with a smile on his face, oh, telling all his people with his chest of grace. Now, come on, I've got a feeling everything's shut down. Giant, and everyone laughed at such a funny little sight. A little shepherd boy armed only with a sling. Beside body and life seems such a pretty little thing. But David said, you've come to me with spear and a sword, but I come to you, come on, in the name of the Lord. Well, he put in a stone, he gave it a fling, and when he left his head, David, he began to sing. Was a dying and hell had a ball. The demons were rejoicing, they thought they'd won the war. Oh, but soon they would not be laughing anymore. Cause on that first Easter morning, the sun woke up the earth. The caverns of the deep opened up as to give birth to my resurrected Savior with healing in his wings. And now the host of children rise and sing that I. Come on, Ted. Everything's gonna be alright, Lord. I've got a feeling that everything's gonna be alright, Lord. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Lord, be alright. Come on, we're gonna sing this third verse again. I want you to get victory in our risen Savior today. Come on. Jesus was a dying and hell had a ball. The demons were rejoicing, they thought they'd won the war. Oh, but soon they would not be laughing anymore. Cause on that first Easter morning, the sun woke up the earth. The caverns of the deep opened up as to give birth to my resurrected Savior with healing in his wings. And now the host of children rise and see that everything's gonna be alright, Lord. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright, yes. I've got a feeling that everything's gonna be alright. Lord, be alright, be alright.
My God, my God, my God, my God. Everything's gonna be alright.
Everything's gonna be alright, sweet Jesus. I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Yeah, I've got a feeling everything's gonna be alright.
Be alright,
be alright,
gonna be alright. Oh my God, my God, my God. Woo, come on, give the Lord praise. Everything's gonna be all right. I said it's gonna be all right. No, you didn't hear me. I said it's gonna be all right. You say, but you don't live where I live. You don't go through what I'm going through. But I gotta tell you, it's still gonna be all right. Would you look at your neighbor and give them a victorious high five and say, it's gonna be all right, sissy. It's gonna be all right, brother. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Gonna be all right, be all right, be all right. Thank God Almighty. Thank you, Sister Kayla, for that wonderful song. How about it? How about it for these former Truth Camp graduates? 1, 2, 3, 4. Come on. Woo! Hallelujah. Give it up for them. God's using them. God bless you. Thank you so much, musicians. Sister Kayla, thank you so much. Woo! Hallelujah. Truth campers, grown up and having babies and working in churches across this land. God's got a work for you to do, ladies. Gentlemen, God's got a work for you to do. Hallelujah. I'm proud of my daughter. Some time ago, her and her husband made the decision because they couldn't have children. She prayed and prayed. She shares her testimony, of course, better than I do. But prayed and prayed, and God opened the door for them to adopt two precious little babies. And I can tell you, they're precious. And both of them, their mothers, their biological parents, didn't want anything to do with them. Come on. The little grandson born, his mama gave birth and left and never seen him. Never wanted to see him. But I had been praying with my son-in-law and daughter that God would give us the babies. Hallelujah. That he wanted us to have. And when the last grandbaby was born, his own mama never seen him, as far as I know. But she had him, and while she was carrying him, she was doing drugs. And when he was born, he was what they call a drug baby. Had tremors. He had to stay in the hospital over a month, a little better than a month, having tremors. And they would call my daughter. The nurses knew that she was going to, at that point, be a foster parent with the potential of adoption. And they'd call her, and she and my wife sometimes would go up there when they'd call my wife, go with her sometimes, and they'd pray for little Jonathan. And he's here on this campus today of Truth Camp, totally healed by the power of God. Growing up, learning to say Jesus. Oh, somebody shout amen. Not as a swear word, but as a worship unto the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of St. Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew, chapter 22. And I want to begin reading in verse 37. Matthew 22, began reading in verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. When you have it, would you stand with me for the reading of our Father's Word? Would you look to your neighbor and tell him, my Father is about to speak over me? Oh, it means something when Abba Father speaks over your life. The devil can't handle it. Would you shout amen? If you'll receive the Father's word by faith, the devil can't handle it. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, the words of our Master, Jesus. Jesus said unto him, Matthew records, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Back up and read that again. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, Jesus said, is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Jesus said, it's all summed up in these two great commandments. And the greatest of all is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. Praise God. Let's read verse 37 out loud. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Father, help me preach today. God, we're thankful for this camp, 2016 Truth Camp. My, what a wonderful thing that you have done and you are doing and you're going to do today, right now, and the rest of this day. We just believe you, Lord, that you're going to have your way. We yield to you right now. I ask for the anointing, the inspiration, the unction of the great Holy Ghost of God to give me insight, understanding, and revelation beyond me, Holy Ghost, to speak the mind of God to these young people, those gathered in this place today. Lord Jesus, I believe you're going to do it. Holy Ghost, exalt Christ. Let him be glorified, and Lucifer and all the powers of darkness terrified because of it. And because your church is marching against the gates of hell. We thank you for it, Jesus. We give you all the praise. Everybody shout amen. You may go to your seats. The famed words of Jesus, the very apex of discipleship, the very apex of commandment from the very lips of Christ to all of those who would become and would be born again believers to follow him. He said, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Hallelujah. With all your soul, with all your mind. I don't know how you translate that or interpret that from where you live, but from Wilson, Oklahoma, I see that as the Lord is saying, like our brother Gregory said this morning out at the pavilion, you have got to be sold out. You've got to give your all to Jesus. Shout amen, somebody. Not halfway. Not almost, come on, but all the way. Would somebody shout amen? I said, all, lift your hand, shout all the way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Then he said, the other commandment, that second one is to love thy neighbor just like you love yourself. Who is my neighbor? One person said, that neighbor of yours is anybody that is without Christ. Anybody that needs him is your neighbor. I want to talk to you today as the Holy Spirit gives me the ability to do so. I want to preach to you this subject, heart problems. Heart problems. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, those verses of scripture from the Torah. The Jews, they referred to those first five books as the Torah, the Pentateuch, the law. Devout Jews know these verses of scripture. They are referred to as the S-H-E-M-A, Shema. It is recited by them, by Orthodox devout Jews. This very passage that I read to you that Jesus gave is recited by them several times a day by those faithful Orthodox Jews. They recite this several times a day. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, soul and so forth. Love your neighbor. Like love your neighbor as you love yourself. They recite it several times a day. Come on. But how many knows it makes a difference when it's not just mere lip service? Shout amen. Not just quoting a bunch of verses, but it is coming from the heart. Would you shout hallelujah to say these words from your heart? That's what the Lord wants. He wants your heart. But they would quote this. They quote these passages several times a day. You know, to survey the state of humanity today in our society leaves us to ponder as we see all that's happening in our world and in our nation today. It leaves us to ponder, what is the matter? Have people lost their minds? Come on. Climb up and shoot down police officers. Violence in the streets. Come on. And we see all of this and other things that are going on, and we say, what is the matter? Have people lost their minds? I must adjure to you today and tell you, no, they've not lost their minds. They've lost their hearts. I said they have lost their hearts, and they are overcome with heart problems. Our society today is being plagued with heart problems. I'm not talking about that physical heart, but that spiritual heart. Our society is overcome and is suffering from heart problems. Hear me today. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the proverb writer said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, the paths of life, and the direction you will go. The wise man, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, keep your heart with all diligence, keep your heart. That heart is the very center of your being. It is out of it comes the issues of life. And we're suffering heart problems today in this society. It is severe heart problems that plagues us. And we know this when people have no regard in our society, have no regard or respect for another person's dignity, morality, possessions, and even that other person's life. We know we're living in a society that's suffering from heart problems when we see this. Come on. One local police officer recently, I don't know if it was in Dallas or Baton Rouge, made the statement on Fox News. And Fox News was carrying it away, and they were talking, giving updates. And he said, what the problem is, he said, this is what he said, is not more gun control. He said, our problem is in the heart. What he said, I thought, glory be to God. Come on now. Heart problems. When people have no regard or respect for the other person. We know we are suffering from severe heart problems when we, as professed Christians, can commit grievous transgressions against our God and trespass His very word and go to church on Sunday morning and think everything's all right. Woo! I said it's severe heart problems. When we can transgress against God, trespass against His word, and go to youth service on Wednesday night and lift our hands and sing choruses and act like nothing's the matter and everything is all right. But when in reality, when in reality, churches across this nation are suffering from heart problems, being plagued by spiritual heart diseases. Oh, Lord, the late Dr. Martin Luther King said, the conscience of this nation is the church. The church, he said, is the conscience of this nation. Let me take it a little step further in definition. The church is the very heart of this nation. Come on, somebody. We're going to vote this fall, and I pray, well, maybe not y'all, but 18 and above, are going to vote this fall. And I know there's a matter of different versions and ideals of what to do, and I'm not here to tell you anything. But I thought I would tell you, we need to be faithful to vote. I said we need to be faithful to vote. Come on, somebody. We need to pray first. We need to be faithful to pray and get a hold of God. Would somebody shout amen? But can I tell you, the problem is not in the White House. I know I'm just like the rest of you. You know what I'm saying. Come on. But I said the issue, the root of the plague of heart problems is not in the White House. It's not in the Supreme Court. It's not in the State House. It's not in the state legislature. The problem is in the church house. Come on. All across this nation, churches are suffering from heart disease, suffering from heart problems. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. I want to say it again. There's heart problems in the church. When we've got in our own beloved fellowship of the Assemblies of God, people wanting to bring to the floor of our general convention next year in, I think it's California, want to bring to the floor of the convention to entertain the thought of social drinking. Come on, somebody. In the church now, you can have a little nip. In the church now, the preacher can reach at his office desk where he goes to the pulpit and get him a little nip. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better. Y'all shouting. Come on here. Oh, Lord Jesus. Some time ago, a young lady who is close to my family, she's been attending an AG church, and she said to my wife, she said recently, a couple in that church said to her, this individual has a 17-year-old daughter. They go to this particular church. And these people came, and they've got a daughter her age, and said, can so-and-so, your daughter, come over to our house? And said, now, we just want to tell you, we believe in social drinking. Come on, somebody. Woo. I'm not talking about folks who just started coming. I'm talking about folks who are members of the church. Oh, y'all quiet now. Y'all quiet now. Woo, I found some heart problem. Come on, somebody. I said, what's the deal? The deal is there's some heart problems in that church. Come on. Oh, Lord Jesus. Come on. When they can commit adultery in the church and people start, I've heard this. People in the church already starting to think that it's all right to have a little affair and a fling on the side. Something's wrong. We've got heart problems in the church. Shout amen, somebody. Ischema has come to the church. That word means a lack of blood flow. A lack of blood flow. The precious blood that flows from Calvary's tree. Amen. We need the flow of the blood of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! We need some bypasses in the house today. Glory to God. No. We need some heart transplant. Oh, y'all too quiet. Did y'all eat your Wheaties this morning? I'll come to preach a little while. So sit back and buckle up. I want to tell you, we need a heart transplant. I said we need a heart transplant. Woo, glory to God. Take out that heart and give me another heart. And I just thought I'd ask today, is there a doctor in the house? I said, is there a doctor in the house? Old Brother Jeremiah said, old Brother Jeremiah, the prophet, got to looking at his people in his nation. They's kind of like us. And I'll read a little bit to you in a minute. They's kind of like us. And Jeremiah said, Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no medicine in Gilead? Is there not a physician there? Shout hallelujah. I come to tell you, there's a doctor in the house. His name is Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. There's a healing medicine in the house. The power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen. Heart problem. Oh my God. A diseased heart. It's full of sin. Woo. Matter of fact, while I'm on that thought, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 5. Because it's there. You will read the indictment of God against that Old Testament church, Israel. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding. Watch it now, watch it. Which have eyes to see, which have eyes rather and see not, which have ears and hear not. Who's he talking to? The sinner? No, he's talking to the church. I said he's talking to the church. He's talking to the youth group. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence? Which have placed the sand, watch this, for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it. Though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over. But this people, God says, this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their where? Shout heart. Somebody shout heart. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. An indictment of Almighty God against the church in the Old Testament Israel. Oh, come on, somebody. Said they're foolish people. They have eyes, but they do not see. Come on. They have eyes, but they cannot see spiritual things. They cannot see God in the eyes of faith. They have ears, but they do not hear what I'm saying unto them from my word. Oh, my God. Then he said they have a revolting heart. A rebellious heart is the indictment of God against this modern church that we live in today in our nation. It is a revolting and a rebellious heart that will say and believe what I've described to you earlier. It is a rebellious heart that cannot see the things of God, that does not see and peer into the spiritual realm. It is the rebellious heart that does not want anything to do with the experience of Pentecost. It is a rebellious heart that does not want the church to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost is the governor of the local church. We don't operate by man's governance. We operate by the governance of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen. Oh, I know I'm Assemblies of God, but the Assemblies of God didn't call me. I was 15 years old. God called me to preach. They just gave me a license to preach. Come on, somebody. Amen, but it don't mean nothing. I got to tell you, I tell my church, it's not man that rules here. It's God, the Holy Ghost. Would somebody shout hallelujah? And yes, sir, we're going to let him have his way on Sunday morning. If he wants to interrupt in our service, interrupt our program, interrupt our Sunday school, interrupt our announcements that I wish we'd get rid of, and I'm working that way. You kids, don't go home. Woo. I said, come on, Holy Ghost, and bring a divine interruption. You're the governor of this church. We're here under your operation. Shout hallelujah. I can tell you, we've had messages in tongues and interpretation come on Sunday morning. Shout hallelujah. Recently, I didn't even get to preach. Folks started flooding the altars. Shout hallelujah, somebody. Woo, give God a hand clap of praise. Because the Holy Ghost governs. But it's a rebellious heart in our Pentecostal so-called churches that don't want the Holy Ghost to have his way. Amen? It's a rebellious heart that has turned our... I know you may think I'm just nitpicking, but if I am, let me nitpick then. It is a rebellious heart that has turned our church property into campuses. It is a rebellious heart that has turned our sanctuaries, and I was just in a church in Oklahoma City that has turned the sanctuary into an auditorium. I feel like preaching right now. I was sitting in that auditorium, and it was a preacher's meeting. And I got to looking around, and lo and behold, all of a sudden, and I ain't got nothing against cowboys. I'm telling the truth, I'm an Indian, but I ain't got nothing against cowboys. Sign them treaties. Shout amen. I got cowboys in my church. They wear boots, they wear hats. I mean, they wear it all. And one guy hugs my neck every Sunday. He said, this is my Indian friend. I said, this is my cowboy friend. Shout amen. Woo! Hallelujah. I got nothing wrong with cowboys. I grew up with cowboys, grew up around, went to school with ranchers and kids and farmers' kids and drove tractors and rode horses and all of that. So I had cowboys. We had cowboys that come to my home churches growing up. But listen. I sat in there in that great crowd of preachers, and a cowboy come in with his wife, and he had his hat on. I said, Lord Jesus. And you know, I gave him benefit of doubt. I said, he must have forgot he's got his hat. Walked up and sat down. Here's a preacher. And he sat down. I watched him. Never once did he pull his hat off. I know this old-fashioned stuff, but I'm talking about reverence. The church, most of you go to, I know you heard it, but I'm going to tell you this morning. That's called reverence. Serve the Lord your God, Hebrews says, with reverence and godly fear. Set the whole service with the cowboy hat on. Oh, sweet Lamb of God. And we got up. It was dark. I couldn't hardly say for all of a sudden smoke and drifted down to the bottom of the stage. Ooh, somebody called 911. We come on, smoke's coming out the can light. And it's kind of dark. It was just dim lit. I said, Lord, Lord. Reckon they paid the light bill? All of a sudden, all colors of light started going. And the drummer had his own platform on the platform. I said, oh, sweet Jesus, help me right now. And folks was jumping and hollering, waving hands and doing all sorts of things. And I was standing there. You believe how you want to believe, but I'm preaching this message right now. I know I felt you earlier today when I talked to you, but I can't feel nothing now. Lord, I don't feel nothing. God, and it came to me because God ain't in here. God ain't in this. So I just stood still. Come on, like a wooden ending. On the corner of a drugstore. I said, if God ain't in here, I ain't a worshiping. Because if I go to worshiping, I may worship the wrong God. Somebody shout hallelujah. What are you saying, Brother Tom? I'm telling you, folks, it's heart problems. It's a heart disease. And it's that kind of heart problem that produces fleshly people in the church. It's that kind of heart problems that let sin run rampant in the church, and therefore sin runs like a sewage into our city streets from our churches. Let's come back to where the church is the heart of our cities, and let's have a heart transplant. Somebody shout. Somebody say there's a doctor in the house. Heart problems. Well, heart, the word heart in your Bible occurs over 1,000 times. The word heart occurs in your Bible. Whew. That means you ought to set up and read it 1,000 times. And it denotes, listen, it denotes a person's, the center of a person. It denotes a person's center for both physical and emotional and intellectual and moral lives and activities. As the center of hidden emotional, intellectual, and moral activity. I'm talking about the heart, hidden from everybody that's around you. Even your preacher don't know your heart like God does. The center of your hidden emotional, intellectual, moral activity. And because it's hidden, the Word of God says, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Woo. Guard your heart with diligence. The heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the center, the very core of your being? Who can know your heart? Let me tell you who can. Woo. I said God does. You didn't hear me. I said God knows your heart. Your mama may not know your heart. Your daddy may not know your heart. Your youth pastor, your preacher may not know your heart. But let me tell you something. God knows your heart. I said he knows every part of your heart. Would you shout amen? Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 10. Jeremiah, the Lord said through Jeremiah, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I, the Lord, he said, know the heart. I try the reins. Now, when he said, I try the reins, you cowboys ought to know what it is. Amen. You get on that old horse and you grab the reins. And if he's been trained properly, come on, and broke properly, you can sit up on a good horse and barely pull the rein here. And he'd be going this way, you pull this in a little bit here. Come on, somebody. You'd be walking forward, and you kind of do, and he'll stop, and then he'll back up. Come on, somebody. What's he doing? He feels the tug of the master's strong hand. Come on, somebody. And God said, I'm the master. I'm your Lord. If you love me, I'm going to be your master and your Lord. And when I tug on your heart rein and I say go right and I give you the slightest tug, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Whoop, whoop. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, somebody. Shout amen now. You're going forward and all of a sudden, it goes a little bit, you stop. Come on, somebody. Oh, what is it? The Lord's a trying the reins. I said the Lord will try your reins. He will test you to find out, are you really his or not? Is he really your master? Is he really your Lord? Are you just giving him lip service? God don't want your lip service, honey. God don't want your lip service, honey. God wants your heart. I said he wants your heart. If I read my Bible right, God don't want you coming up in here lifting your hands and singing real pretty. Amen. He don't want you jumping and a hollering and a running and a shouting and a dancing. If your heart is not in it. Paul said to Corinth, just sit down. Now, some of y'all has been taking communion. How many knows what communion is? It's called the Lord's Supper. That bread and that juice, it represents the blood, and the bread represents the body of Christ. It represents the body of Christ. Christ's body that suffered for us. It also represents the church body. The church body is the body of Christ. It's supposed to be in the earth. Paul said, now some of y'all think that when it's called the Lord's Supper, I just know his talk. I know Corinth must have been down south somewhere. Come on. I said, I just know Corinth was in the south. How many of y'all know we're in the south? Raise your hand. We're in the south. Waters World on, what you call it? Program on Fox. I can't think of his name now. No spin zone. Anyway, Waters World, this man goes out on the street and he asks questions. He's asking college-age students questions. He's asking them history questions. He asked some of them, he said, what was the Civil War and where was it fought? I said, ooh, ooh, ooh. He didn't see me. But this old girl, I don't know what, she said something about France and somebody and somewhere else. I thought, Lord God, help us, Jesus. Woo! Come on now. What are you saying, brother? I just know Paul must have been writing to the church. Corinth must have been in the south. Because he said, now some of y'all think when it's the Lord's Supper, y'all say supper. I'm trying to hurry. I got 3 points. I'm hurry. Supper is in the evening time when the sun's going down. We about to eat supper. Fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, cat head biscuits, fried okra. Oh! A bowl of pinto beans been cooking all day with a piece of big old fresh ham in it. Shout now, somebody, and a big old glass of Southern sweet tea. You know what that is. Southern sweet tea is the kind of tea... Southerners drank tea for breakfast. They drank their sweet tea for breakfast. You know why? Because when they eat pancakes, if they ain't got no syrup, no Griffin syrup, they just pour the tea on the pancakes. Come on and keep on eating and drink. Shout, that's Southern tea. Southern. Supper is in the evening about 6 o'clock. Dinner is at 12 noon. Shout, amen. I'm messing y'all all up. And so, therefore, Paul said, he said, y'all think supper, y'all think when he said the Lord's Supper, he told him, y'all bringing food, chicken, fried chicken, all that, and y'all just having a supper. And the rich folks get to eat Tyson chicken. And the rest of the poor folks get to eat them little bitty birds, them Cornish, corny birds or whatever. Shout amen, somebody. And y'all don't want to share it with nobody. Paul said that ain't what it's talking about. Y'all eat supper at home. Lord, I feel like preaching. I'm meddling, but I'm a preacher. Shout amen. Then he said, some of y'all been taking of the Lord's communion, eating that bread, drinking that juice out of that cup. And he said, you got heart problems. And you're doing that anyway. You hadn't repented. You hadn't been to the Lord to get your heart fixed. Shout hallelujah, get a heart transplant. And you're taking that communion and you pretend that everything's all right and you know it ain't all right. Somebody shout hallelujah. And they had this kind of stuff going on there. And so he says, some of y'all been committing adultery with old so-and-so's wife and you're standing up in here taking communion. He said, if you're not careful, he said, God's going to curse you and you're going to wind up dying. Come on, he said, that's right. Some of y'all dying. You're mistreating the Lord's body. Shout hallelujah, because you got heart problems. Heart disease. Somebody say heart disease. Woo! Let me talk to you real quick about three hearts. Number one, Exodus chapter 8, verse 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time. Also, neither would he let the people go. I want to talk to you just for a little bit, and we'll move on, about the hard heart. The hard heart. Now, Pharaoh, God sent Moses to Pharaoh, and he sent that preacher to talk to Pharaoh, and God dealt with Pharaoh's heart. God brought conviction on Pharaoh. God dealt with Pharaoh's heart, and he gave him an opportunity to do what was right, to do what he told him. He said, "You let my people go." Pharaoh didn't do it. So God dealt with him 10 times. God dealt with Pharaoh's heart. Number one, he dealt with him when he sent him a plague of blood. All the water in Egypt became blood. And yet Pharaoh still did not repent and let God's people go. He sent a plague of frogs. Frogs filled their houses, got in their beds with them, sat up on their couches. Woo, come on, somebody. Sat up on their couches while those couch potatoes sat there and said, all of a sudden, and there's frogs all over the couch. Come on, somebody. Pharaoh's sitting up in his palace and he's got frogs at the table with him. God's dealing with you, Pharaoh. God wants you to repent and let his people go. Yet he refused to do so. Thirdly, he sent a plague of lice. Fourthly, a plague of flies. Fifthly, a plague of on the cattle. All the cattle died. Sixthly, at number six, the sixth plague, he sent a plague of boils. He then sent, number seven, a plague of hail. Eighth, he sent a plague of locusts and ate up all the vegetation. The ninth plague was a plague of darkness upon the land. And yet Pharaoh still hardened his heart, refused to let God's people go. The tenth time God dealt with him was a plague of death of the firstborn. And still Pharaoh did not repent. Because when he finally told him, said, "Get out of here. I don't want to see your face in the morning. You better be gone." Sure enough, he got up the next morning and they was gone. Woo! I ain't got nobody to wait on him. I ain't got nobody to fan him and feed him grapes. Come on, somebody. God's people done made their exodus. Shout hallelujah. But Pharaoh changed his mind. And he ran after him. Come on, somebody. God had dealt with him 10 times. 10 times. God gave him opportunity. Watch the progression of these plagues. Each one gets a little worse and a little worse and a little worse because God is trying to save Pharaoh's soul. God's trying to save his people, but Pharaoh won't do what's right. He won't listen to God. And his heart got hard. Huh? Each time God dealt with him, he shirked. The conviction and the dealing of God. And every time God dealt with him and he shirked it off, his heart got harder. He had a rock heart. His heart got harder. Every time he said no to God, his heart got harder. And harder and harder. Every time he told God no, until finally death came to his own house. He changed his mind again. Even that didn't cause him to repent. And the word tells us that Pharaoh's hard heart took him to a watery grave in the Red Sea. The same dried land of the Red Sea when God parted the waters that God's people went over on dry ground. Pharaoh and his army ensuing to do the same got down in that water and God just pulled his hand back. And when he did, the water came in upon Pharaoh and all the Egyptian army and drowned every one of them. Pharaoh went to a watery grave because he refused to listen to God. He died with a hard heart. One of these hearts may describe you in this service today. Are you here today? God's been dealing with you. God's been talking to you about what you've been doing, and God's been telling you it ain't right, it's wrong, it's sin, and you need to get away from it. You need to lay it down and walk away. The next time he comes to your house, God said you need to tell him, baby doll, it's over. I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I don't date no boy that ain't saved and baptized with the Holy Ghost. See you later, alligator. Woo! Come on. But God's been dealing with you about it, about some of those bad relationships and friendships. God's been dealing with you about some places you've been going and some things you've been looking at and some things you've been doing behind your closed bedroom door. God's saying it's sin. It's sin. Repent. Get rid of it. But you can't. It's going into Thessalonica. Come on, somebody. He loves this world. Huh? He's a child of God, a born-again child of God. But he falls in love with the world, and he divorces Jesus and walks away from Christ and walks away from what God called him to do and goes into the pleasures of Thessalonica. He's lost. What caused him to do it? My second thought, the uncommitted heart. He wasn't committed, Brother Jacob. He just wasn't committed. He had never crossed the line and became totally sold out to Jesus and committed to Christ irregardless. Come on, son. In Revelation chapter 12, it says, we overcome the devil by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and because we love not our life unto the death. That says, I'm willing to die for Jesus. Uh-oh. That's the kind of commitment I'm talking about, Brother Jacob, is a commitment that I'll even die for my testimony of Jesus Christ. There are thousands of Christian martyrs that go into eternity every year around this world. They cut their heads off. They put them in prisons and torture them. One man came to my church up in Picton, Texas, from a Muslim country in Africa, and he shared his testimony. He said he was preaching Jesus and they arrested him. The government sent police to arrest him. They threw him in jail and they hung him by from the ceiling. They hung him up and they would pour hot oil on his feet. But before they did, they would say to him, if you will deny and say you'll stop preaching Jesus Christ, we will let you go home to your family. And he said, but I would always tell them, no, I will not do that. I love Jesus, and I must tell the world about him. And they'd pour hot oil on his feet. Come on, he loved not his life unto death. One at one moment, in order to save some of those Muslim police or guard souls, that what they came in one day and they reached and grabbed his hand and had a big machete knife, a machete, and said, you must deny Jesus or we will cut your hand off. He said, I will not. And he said, that guard brought that down and got right there on his skin, and he couldn't make it go. And he said, I kept standing there, I will not. But he said he couldn't cut my hand off. And said, all of a sudden, he threw that machete down and backed up looking at him. And he said, I cannot cut you. He said, why? He said, because there are five giant men around you. And when I went to cut your hand off, one of them put his hand on yours and I could not even penetrate. What was it? It was the angels of heaven dispatched to stand by him. Two or three of those guards fell on their knees and converted and came to Christ. Somebody shout amen. You got to love your life, even unto the death, Demas. There's some Demases here this morning. There's some Demasettes here this morning. You're in church, you go to youth group, you raise your hands, but you go to school, or you get around your friends, or they text you, or call you on the cellular phone, and you go right back to what you used to do. You're not committed yet. You're not sold out yet. Don't be a Demas. Don't divorce Christ and go back to the world, but fall in love with Jesus and give him your whole heart. Let him give you a heart transplant. Woo. Hallelujah. I close it. This is good. This is good looking. Look in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm sorry, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. Listen. Let me back to verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. Filthiness. Somebody say filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. This is God talking. He said, a new heart. Somebody shout, a new heart. Also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments to do them and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Woo! And at this altar this morning, he's going to perform heart surgery, give you a new heart. He said, I'll give you a new heart. Listen, it is a new, this new heart is a new disposition of mind in Christ. It is a frame of your spirit from sinful to holy. You can, rather from carnal to spiritual. It is a heart in which the law of God is written, his word, in which the almighty grace of God is victorious and turns your heart from the world to God, from sin to holiness, from hell to heaven. Somebody shout amen. He's going to take away your old hard heart, that old hard heart that's senseless, S-E-N-S-E-L-E-S-S, senseless, unfeeling, inflexible heart, unapt to receive any divine impressions from God or to return any devout affections unto him. God's going to take that heart out of you. Then he's going to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh that is a soft, tender heart that has spiritual senses exercised and is conscious to itself of spiritual pains and pleasures, a heart of another temper, hearkening to God's law, trembling at his word, and holiness molded into a compliance with his whole will for your life, disposed to do, to be, to suffer what God wills for you, receiving the divine impression on your heart from God as soft wax receives the impression of a seal. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God wants you to walk out of here with a new heart. God wants you to leave here with a whole heart, a new heart, the heart of Christ. For when you're born again, in the moment you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you believe upon his finished work on the cross, that he poured out his blood for you there, and you repent. It is then that you are saved. You are born again. You're saved from hell, saved from self, saved from the chains of sin, addictions, and bondages. And you are born again, born from above by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, who brings the blood of Jesus. Amen. Performs a heart transplant, takes your old heart and gives you the heart that is soft and tender, the heart of Christ, the nature of Christ. Somebody shout amen. That is soft and tender to the voice. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. God can speak to you, and God can talk to you, and God can nudge your heart with the slightest tug, and you recognize it, and you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. 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 I'll say, yes. 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 I'm going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Because I got a new heart. Not a hard heart. Not an uncommitted heart. I've got a new heart. The very remedy for our society is a new heart. Come on, somebody. the heart of God, the heart of Christ. How many today want a new heart? Would you raise your hand? I want a new heart. I want a new heart. It's that kind of heart that when you go into that secret place, you're in love with Jesus more than anything in this world. Come on, young people. You love him more than anything in this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's in that secret place that he can put the very impression of his self upon you. And you bear the impression of Christ. Hallelujah. By the seal of the Holy Spirit upon your heart. Great God Almighty. Hallelujah. He loves you today. Somebody come to the piano this morning, would you? I want you to stand with me, young people. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, Jesus. Has he been dealing with you? Has he been nudging on you, your heart, telling you you needed to get rid of certain things, repent? You've been telling him not right now. But today you say, Lord, I've heard your word, and I want a new heart. I want a new heart. I want a heart that's sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher. Hallelujah. I want every young person to come and find you a place at this, in this surgery room, at these altars. Would you come, call on the Lord and say, Lord, give me a heart that's tender. I'm 49 years old, about to be 50. I've got 4 children and 2 grandchildren, 1 on the way. I got saved when I was some of your ages, 15 years old, when I saved, filled the Holy Ghost, called to preach. But I've prayed this prayer thousands and thousands of times. I've prayed this prayer. God, let my heart be sensitive to your voice. Let my heart be sensitive to your touch. For whatever you want is what I want. Wherever you lead me, I will follow. I'll go with you, all the way. Come on, young people. Just lift your voices to God. Begin to cry out to him and say, Lord, give me a new heart. Give me a tender heart, tender to your touch, tender to your voice. Hallelujah, tender to your will. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. God doesn't make his will hard to know. God just wants you to have a soft and tender heart. And in that regard, you can know his will. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Yes. Come on, young people. Call on him. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to give you a new heart, a new life. Hallelujah. The life of Christ. The heart, the nature of Jesus. Come on.